praise you, God. Thank you, our Abba Father, who's drawn us here by your grace to learn more of our sweet and precious Jesus. God, we just thank you for open hearts here to receive of what you have for us tonight. God, you always set such a rich table for us, and we just come in just humbleness of spirit and open hearts, open minds to receive your word. God, we just thank you for everyone who's present here tonight, for everyone who might listen to this service. We just want to glorify you, God. We want to magnify your Son. Lord, just let the Holy Spirit have free rule and reign here tonight, that everything said and done is just to glorify you, God. That's why we gather together, and we gather in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Been so encouraged from even this morning from the choir and everything. So exciting, just thinking how, wow, God, he does fight our battles. How amazing. And sometimes he just does it. He just says, watch me do it. How amazing. Just so thankful. And his brother prayed tonight, even in the opening prayer before, about how just so excited for preparing to meet our Jesus in the air. And that's the main reason that we gather together in this meeting. So thankful for that. And I can promise you that God, in his grace, certainly will take us on a wonderful, wonderful path to learn more about that preparation, to be more ready. So just thankful. Let's turn to 2 Peter, if you would, please. 2 Peter, the first chapter. And this is Simon Peter writing of the things given by God's divine power pertaining to life and godliness to those that have attained like precious faith. And how wonderful this like precious faith. We're going to pick it up in 2 Peter 1, 4. This is the verse that we're going to kind of launch from here tonight. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And I think how wonderful, a portion we're familiar with, but I believe the Lord tonight is going to have us kind of hone in on that word partakers. And how amazing. And I think how appropriate for this time that we live in, this church age, so close to the appearing of Jesus to catch away his bride. And I think about, as the Lord just kind of settled me in this one word, how amazing how he enlarges our steps in the knowledge of him to continue to grow in grace and in truth that's only found in Paul's gospel. That's the grow up gospel. And just so thankful. So thinking of Paul's gospel, the word either partaker or partakers occurs about 30 times in the New Testament, most frequently in Paul's letters. And a lot of the New Testament is Paul's letters, but this is there's a concentration of this. And you'll see why as we go on this adventure together with the Lord and study this out. Most frequently, they occur in 1 Corinthians. When you think about the Corinthian church and everything going on there and Paul's tender heart towards those saints at Corinth, Hebrews is a close second. So you have 1 Corinthians and Hebrews are the two books that these words are in most often, just for a little context. The word partaker only occurs once in the Old Testament in Psalm 50. That's it. So, thinking back to 2 Peter 1:4, it talks about partakers of the divine nature. And literally that's the Trinity, that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That word divine is that. And we think about how we've been studying on Wednesday nights in the book of John, how wonderful, as God gave his Son, then Jesus went that he could give us the Holy Ghost, that one that grows us up, that brings everything to our remembrance. Once we're filled with that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost, everything becomes new. I remember, Mark will remember this too, the night that we got filled in a precious little meeting in Lakewood. Wow, it's like we read the word and we'd never read the word. We were just like, it's all spiritual, and Jesus wasn't talking about physical things. He was all spiritual. Wow. And that's where it starts. and then we grow up. So just so thankful for the Holy Spirit and the work of that person of the Trinity, living and active in a life. And without it, you'll never know the full bridal truth or the depths of this word partaker. So amazing. I'm just super excited. I can't even tell you. Very. So this word partaker in this verse means a partner, an associate, a comrade. And it comes from a root word which means to share in common things. And I don't think this means common things as in base things. I mean, there is salvation, but things in common. What do people partake of in the deep richness of everything? Those common things. To have union with, to accompany one, companionship, resemblance, to be beside. What a lot in that word. It includes the notion of completeness and community. So we can see how God is very individual with us, but we're his body, and in particular, a rib portion out of that body. And there's community in that, and we're all necessary one for another. All of us are. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for saints in my life. Just grateful to him. So as we kind of go through this tonight, there's about four different kind of themes of what a partaker does necessarily. And so the first thing we kind of touched on there in that definition is that partakers share. And I think how wonderful. And when you think about sharing something, in the Bible it talks about breaking bread. So what happens for it to be shared? It's broken. Breaking is kind of painful a lot of times. But you think about that's how things are shared a lot of times. In John 6:35, Jesus speaks of himself as the bread of life. In John 6:50-56, he further notes he's the living bread that came down from heaven. Whosoever eats of my flesh and drinks my blood has everlasting life and will be raised up on that last day. Now you think our Lord here talking of himself as this, his body was broken for us and his blood was shed. There was a breaking, that there was a sharing there though in that. And of course, you know, this, especially this time of year, thinking of Easter and even what we're going through in John, leading up to the crucifixion and that brutal death that he died. But he didn't just die, he was raised up. And so we have that life. We have that opportunity to be raised up and even in the fullness of glory with him, which is pretty incredible. Amazing. Praise the Lord. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And there's a lot of scripture. I'm just, wow, so thankful to the Lord. We'll move along pretty quickly. I don't want to go too quick, but a lot of ground to cover. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. And this is thinking of this theme, kind of sharing partakers in the flesh and blood of Jesus and the union that brings. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So there's a breaking and a sharing, but there's also a coming back together. There will be a completeness and a wholeness. You know, our Lord, how wonderful. You know, there's the pierced side. There's a wound in him that is there, very much so. And we'll get into more of some of the wonderful furtherings of the meanings of this word partakers. But this is kind of the sense of sharing here. Partakers of that one bread. The next theme that the Lord just really sweetly brought to me is that's common to partakers is that of giving and receiving. And this is very interesting because there's a couple of words in the Greek that have a commonality in the root word lambano, which means to receive or apprehend fully. So that word partaker, several times in the New Testament, has this lambano. And the first of the two words is anti-lambano. And it doesn't mean anti as against, but it means to lay hold and fasten to embrace, to help, to aid, to succor. Very interesting. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6:2. 1 Timothy 6, verse 2. says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they're brethren, but rather do them service, because they're faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." So this is this word anti-lambano. So when you think of a partaker as one that lays hold, that fastens to, that embraces, helps, aids, succors, what is the benefit except the grace of God by which he's given us everything in Jesus, everything that pertains to life and godliness? And you think about God withheld nothing from us, not a single thing. He's such a generous giver. We can't even imagine how generous he is, but he is. So when you think about that, don't you want to embrace that? I mean, this is his son, the ultimate person that he gave, and to lay fully hold of him, and this is the work of grace. We apprehend grace, we apprehend Jesus. That's what we're doing, and that's what partakers do. They lay hold fully, and they embrace. And when you think about it, even back in Genesis, when God said it's not good for a man to be alone, and he gave the first Adam a wife, Eve. She was a helpmeet. There's part of this, it's wonderful, because he created a need there in Adam, but also then in his son, God's son, to have a helpmeet. And this is one that helps, aids, succors, comes along beside, all of this, way back in Genesis. And that's how the wife will fulfill him. So the giving and receiving circle will be complete, because God first gave, and we receive of God, and then we give back to God, and he receives it. It's like a big circle that just goes and is always fulfilling. And I'm just so thankful for that. Wonderful. Now, the second word for partaker from that root word lambano is meta, M-E-T-A, lambano. And that means to be made a partner, to partake of food, to find a whole thing. And when you think about sound doctrine, I remember looking this up, sound doctrine is like wholesome, nourishing food. And this is the fullness of the counsel of God. What Joe was talking about this morning, what is the full counsel of God? It is whole, completely, spiritually nutritious food. And that's what we get. That's what's in here. And I'm just so thankful God wants us to get into that. So when we study his word, when we get into the depths of it, there's just, it's completely nutritious. So a lot of wonderful things in this meta lambano. Let's go to Hebrews 12, if you would. Hebrews 12, 9 and 10. And this says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us." We're all familiar with this, aren't we? "And we gave them reverence," or respect. "Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days," this is our life on earth, "our fathers chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Isn't that amazing? Chastening is not joyous for the moment, but what an eternal working it has. There's this partakers of his holiness. And it's so wonderful just to think of that. Earthly fathers, you correct children because there's something wrong. You want to deter them from doing that again. It's like, that's not a good idea. And hopefully the correction will deter them to do that. But you think about how earthly fathers sometimes, even as the word says, may do it according to their desires and pleasures. But God our Father, he does it for his desire and his pleasure, which is for eternity. And he wants us to walk in that narrow, straight way. So we consider the end of that his chastening is holiness. It puts it in a whole different light. It really, really does. And I believe, godly parents, godly fathers and mothers, there's a correcting in that too, because you've got that mind of Christ, and that's going to be your heart's desire for your kids is to train them up. And part of training is correcting, for sure. So praise the Lord. The third theme here that partakers do, and this is continuing along this line of partaking of food, there's fruit. When you think about food and you think of this sound doctrine and taking it in, there's a fruit. There's fruit that's manifest in a life. So let's go to 2 Timothy 2:6. We'll read a little bit here. 2 Timothy 2:6. This says, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." And you know, the husbandman is the one that tills the soil, that dresses the vine. And when you really look up that word vine dresser, it's the one that purges the vine. We know from John 15, 1 and 2, what Jesus says about that, that he's the true vine. His Father, Father God, is the husbandman. The branches that bear not fruit are taken away. But every branch that bears fruit is trimmed back, it's purged, that it'll bear more fruit. So this husbandman that works the soil, who prunes the vine, and all of that, this is God our Father, and it's a patient work on the part of God. And we know from James 5:7, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren." So this is to us, unto the coming of the Lord. It does take patience to wait, doesn't it? "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth," that's us, "and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early rain and the latter rain." And I know it does seem, for those of us that have been on this journey with Jesus as bridegroom in particular, it is easy to say, "Oh Lord, how long, how long?" It is. But when you think of the Godhead, when you think of an eternity's past, how long has he waited? We can't get our heads around that at all. So this long patience, whenever I read that, I just kind of stop for a minute and think, wow. It's encouraging, though, because this life is just a vapor. I mean, it can seem long sometimes. It does. But compared to how long the Lord has waited for you, wow. That's not long. And it could be any day. Well, it will be someday. Praise the Lord. So, when you think about this in 2 Timothy, it says this husbandman must be first partaker of the fruits. And that word first is very interesting because it's first in time, first in place, first in rank, influence, or honor. So, the husbandman, God the Father, is of course first of all. God's the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man's the head of women. Parents are over their children. There's a hierarchy there that God set out, and that's in Ephesians 5. It's around verse, I think, 22 to 25, right in there, if you want to write a reference down. When you think of this word fruits, it's wonderful. This is an incredible word. It's beautiful to consider, as it means the visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly. That's like the Holy Spirit. When you think of that dunamis, that word, it's a dynamo. It's like a dynamo is self-generating. So once it starts, and this is wonderful because we can't work up things. I mean, we can try, and some people do. You might have seen a few things on television or something where people have worked things up and attributed it to the Holy Ghost. There's really no way to do that. It's flesh when it goes there. But when it's really the Holy Spirit, it's that dunamis power in here. So, but the fruit is a visible expression of that. So it's an inward working that has an outward manifestation, which is just wonderful. These fruits are the same that are found in Philippians 1:11, when Paul writes, "being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." Everything's unto the praise of and the glory of God. That's why Jesus came and died and rose, and that's why we're called sons of God. It's to give him praise and glory. In Hebrews 12:11, the fruit of righteousness is described as peaceable fruit. And the outward effect, divine chastening, it says, "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless afterward. It yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." And there is a condition there. Unto them which are exercised, you have to let the Lord do that and be exercised by it. Exercise isn't always fun. But spiritually, let the Lord do that in your life because it makes you fit. Runners exercise. They train. And it's not you doing it. It's just letting God do it. That's it. James 3:18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So you think God's aim in making us fruitful is such an abundant harvest of peace and righteousness. That's what that is. And these partakers having to do with fruit, what a wonderful thing. So we think about this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. As you're turning there, so we know God has placed everything in his Son. And we see a pattern of the first fruits emerging here. 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And become the first fruits of them that slept. Continuing in verse 23, but every man in his own order or rank, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are at Christ, are Christ's at his coming. You can go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Pretty quickly there. But the thing is, there's this heavenly pattern that's always imprinted on our earthly experience. Everything's there, and that's what this word does. It shows us how this is going to be. How wonderful. I was thinking about that word imprint, and I just love it. It means to impress, to mark by pressure, to fix on the mind or memory, to stamp letters and words on paper by means of type press. There's a press to do an imprint. And there is a great pressing. But that's an imprint. That's how things get into you, actually. It's a lot of pressing. We're marked by God, set apart to holiness, stamped with the indelible ink of grace. And that's what that is. And love. We're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He never leaves us or forsakes us. No man can pluck us out of God the Father's hand at all. We're eternally secure because we're his, and we have that imprint of grace and of love on our life. Our lives are epistles known and read of all men. When you think about that, it even has to do with typography, everything. There's so many, there's just so much here. So when we think about this, how wonderful in this partnering and continuing on this thought of the partakers. Three passages in Hebrews, and it starts in Hebrews chapter 3. Actually, Hebrews has six. We're not going to go through all six of them. Actually, I think in this study there's four of the six in here. So we're getting most of them. Hebrews 3, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Aren't you glad your calling's in heaven? Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Let's go down a few verses in chapter 3 of Hebrews to verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ. This is partners, comrades, companions. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And again, it's not that we do it, it's that grace does it, that we let grace do it. Hold fast your crown. Hold the beginning of our confidence. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You have beginning and you have an end there. Partakers of Christ. Hebrews 6. Go over a couple of chapters here. Hebrews 6, 4 and 5. And this is addressing moving on from the simple foundations of salvation to deeper things. And we heard, I believe, earlier today, if you can't rest securely in the fact that you are saved, you'll never grow. Because you're going to be stuck there thinking, what do I do to get to God today? What can I do to appease him? What can I do to... No. Once saved, always saved. But as this talks about moving on from the simple foundations, it says it's impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So we've got partakers of Christ, the heavenly calling, the Holy Ghost, all here in Hebrews. tasted the good word of God, the powers of the world to come. Such amazing, wonderful, just such wonderfulness in that verse. So the thing is, we're a partner here in the heavenly calling, in Christ himself, the Holy Ghost. And it's interesting, in those last two there, in Hebrews 3:14 and in 6:4 and 5, for we are made, that's created, made, to partake of Christ and of the Holy Ghost. And praise God, this is so that God may complete all in Christ and bring many sons to glory. And that's a full glory. It's the fullness of the Godhead. Wow. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what would. I know it does. And there's an excitement. I'm excited just whenever you contemplate or think about this. And I know we can't get there completely in our heads down here, but it's so wonderful just to meditate on the word and just think of this. So, we've taken a look at partakers as they share, as they give and receive, bear fruit. And now there's the fourth, I like to call it the crowning theme of the partaker, which has to do with partaking in suffering and in glory. And how many times in the word, well, I think especially in the Psalms, it talks about suffering. And it says, but God, and then there's all the glory. So he doesn't cut it off with the suffering. And so thankful, because we don't suffer afflictions and everything for no reason. They're necessary a lot of times. And I think all of this partaking, if you're seeing some of these themes and all, I'm praying the Lord's just giving you a deeper revelation of some of this. Philippians 3:10 tells us how Christ's love draws us to him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Romans 8:17, we're all familiar with these, explains that we must draw near to the sufferings of the Lord to rule and reign with him. There's heirs and then there's joint heirs. If so be that we suffer with him, we'll be glorified together with him. 2 Corinthians 1:7, there's a very sweet note about the sufferings here. 2 Corinthians 1:7 says, and our hope of you, this is Paul talking, is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be of the consolation. And that word consolation means to call to one side, to be beside. That is quite a consolation. It's not a consolation like a second place prize. It's not that at all. This is the rib portion. This is the part of our Lord. He's not complete in that, in a sense, yet. He's complete as God, yes, but there's this rib portion. He was pierced, and we are pierced. And we, I pray, embrace the joint sufferings with Jesus. But think about how that consolation is our calling, in a sense, to be by our Lord's side in marriage. This is what people marry their partners. They come alongside each other. They're equals. Praise the Lord. And you think about, the rib taken out of the first Adam, the rib of the second Adam, Jesus, pierced by the Roman soldier's sword. After he had given up the ghost, and he did give up his life, it was not taken from him, not at all. But you think about the wife, it's the wife of the lamb, the slain lamb. But when she's enjoined to him, that wound in that side will be forever healed. And it's amazing to think about, just thankful that he's called us to this. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 4:13. Love this. 1 Peter 4:13 says, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Wow. The revealing of glory. Glad with exceeding joy. We can't even imagine that in a sense in the ages to come. The exceeding grace, the riches of his grace. I think we get a little glimpse of it when we're here because we see Christ in each other. That's why I love seeing the saints. That's why I think sometimes, thinking in Hebrews about forsake not the assembling, when we talk about all needing each other, we need to see Christ in each other because it's visible. there's a countenance that you have when that Christ life is living in you. And it doesn't mean you won't have some times when your countenance may be a little down. Christ is still in there. He hasn't left, but life gets us sometimes. It can. It does. But as we see that in each other, how is God manifest in the flesh? Well, it's in us right now. And what it'll be over there, we can't imagine, but we don't have to imagine it now. It's real. Like our pastor said before, what's really real? Well, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what real, and I like to see real. I do. And I know you do too. So praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5:1. We were in 2 Peter. Go over to 1 Peter. This is wonderful partaker here. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. So there's a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Isn't that something? I mean, almost, you got 4:13, you got 5:1 in there. You know, the bride's kind of hidden away right now, and there is glory that shall be revealed. But in that day of revealing, there's going to be nothing hidden anymore. She'll be on display. And all of creation, wow, what a moment in time. So we think about this word in the Greek for partakers, which means to partake together with one, a joint partaker. Ephesians 3:6, referring to the mystery of Christ, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This is Paul talking about the mystery here, telling the saints at Ephesus. And he's telling us too, when we read this, that we should be joined together with Christ of his very same body, fully enjoined in his promise. How wonderful. The idea of two people becoming one flesh, Genesis 2:24, Matthew 19:5 and 6, Ephesians 5:31, all those places. And it's always noted that man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. So there's mutual partaking in that, right? For she was taken, when you think the rib was taken, but she's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. She'll be returned him fully in wedlock divine. And that's supernatural. It's amazing. But I just love how the Lord, he'll take you there. And I'm thankful to him for that. So, coming close to wrapping this up here. I have a little note here. Just when you thought you couldn't go any deeper. We always can. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I love how he does that too. You think, oh my goodness, I'm going to start blowing bubbles. Don't go quite that deep. Unless he wants you to. 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9. This is wonderful because this word partaker here contains a root word S-U-N. Sometimes there's S-Y-N, S-U-G, S-U-N. They're very wonderful root words. And this is a most intimate suffering together with partaking. This is this S-U-N, it's with in a very intimate way. So 2 Timothy 1, 8 and 9 says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, praise be, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Wow, and that goes back to this, how long has Jesus waited for us? Before the world began. These afflictions, this is the full gospel. This is Paul's grow-up gospel. A lot of times they're the most difficult sufferings. They're the sufferings that we're called to enter into, but they're with him. This is the wife suffering together with him. So in wrapping this up, ultimately we're partakers of grace. We have fellowship in the full gospel. Philippians 1:7, this is partakers of grace. And this is Paul writing to the race runners, writing to each of you. Paul says, even it is meet for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart. You know, that's always what it comes down to, isn't it? The heart. Paul had such a heart for saints, for God's people. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. And we know that Paul was a chosen vessel to pour out the full counsel of God, which is the fullness of grace when you really think about it. Partakers in this verse means co-participants at a very deep level, close companions, joint sharers. And this is what grace does, and this is how we partake in grace. You partake of grace at a very deep level because grace is very deep and it's very wide and it's all-encompassing. It's wonderful. It's what God gave to us in his Son. Thank you, Jesus. Last verse. Thank you for your patience. Colossians 1:12. Colossians is the book of the correction of the sons of God. We've had some verses on correction a little bit in here. Praise God for grace. Colossians 1:12, Paul wrote of giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So when you think about it, inheritance is given to rightful heirs. This partaker, and this is so beautiful, I'm glad that the Lord just finished it with this one. He does everything perfect. This partaker is one who has a part that is distinct from the whole, one who has his own share or portion. Think about that. In Luke 10:42, where it says Mary chose the good part, that word part is the same. So what did she choose? She chose to sit at his feet. This is a part. She had her own share or portion in doing that and just being still. She was distinct from everybody else. The bride of Christ, all of this, this whole thing, I hope God just makes it as real to you as he has to me. It's a separation. It's wonderful. To be a partaker is to be in deepest fellowship with Christ Jesus. It's the call. It's the marriage proposal. That's what it is. To be intimately enjoined to him. That's the only way he knows how to do it. He doesn't know anything else is concerning us. He's not shallow or surface with any of us at all. He wants us to fellowship with it, to partake of everything with him. So thankful. So, to think about just kind of a few closing statements here. You will be broken to share with Christ as bridegroom. There's a breaking that will happen. I trust we've all had it, maybe having it right now. If you haven't or don't have it, you will, unless he comes in the next instant, right now. You will give and receive as you lay fully hold of everything that God has for you. There'll be giving and receiving. What do husbands and wives do? Give and receive. That's what we do. You'll bear fruit as you do endure chastening as a son of God, as he grows you up. There's fruit bearing, and how wonderful, because that glorifies God. And you will be a partaker in suffering, but also in glory, in the ultimate glory where he'll put her on display, and all creation will say, wow, that God did. How amazing. How amazing. Thankful to our Lord. Thank you for your patience tonight. Hope it's blessed you and encouraged you to be a partaker at a deep level with your Lord Jesus Christ, with our bridegroom. Thank you. Let's stand and be dismissed.